Pastors, thank you. We have a great time on Wednesday nights here at First Baptist. They're going to make their way, as only kids can do, with great energy and enthusiasm. And so we love that. Thank God for healthy kids who are praising the Lord. And we're excited about what God is doing. We're beginning a new series for the next few weeks. Entitled, It's Time to Pray. Today's message is going to simply be entitled, Together. It's Time to Pray Together. We're going to be looking at selected passages of Scripture from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 5. I'm going to be quoting some different Scriptures. You can take notes if you like to. You're welcome to take your Bible. Some of us like to have our physical Bible with us. Others, you like to use a digital Bible and compare translations. I find myself when I'm listening to sermons, or I don't listen to a lot of sermons, but I'm normally trying to prepare sermons, but at conferences and stuff, when they're preaching and I'll be they'll be quoting Scripture, I like to try to figure out what translation they're using. Sometimes having a digital Bible on a smart device helps out because you have like 85 translations on the Bible. I was mentored by a dear man, Brother Ronnie Spillers. And Brother Ronnie was saved as an adult. He worked for the Georgia Power Company as a lineman. And he got saved in his 30s. He went and finished his college degree, then went to seminary and earned his doctorate degree. The man was brilliant, and is brilliant, by the way. He continues to do interim pastorates. He's long since retired from the full pastorate. But Dr. Ronnie would bring the Greek New Testament to the pulpit, and he would read out of the Greek New Testament. So it didn't matter what translation you had, it was Brother Ronnie's translation of the Greek. Now, it would follow closely most modern translations, but inevitably he would add a little extra to it in the background. So I can't do that. I know a little bit of Greek, but I'm not at Brother Ronnie's level. But it doesn't really matter. It's not about what the Greek says or the Hebrew says. It's what God speaks to you through His Word. And I'm just so grateful we have a translation we can understand. And God did that. And today what I want you to really hear is what God's going to speak to you. I'm just a vessel. I'm a dime a dozen. There's hundreds of thousands of men doing exactly what I'm doing today. They're going to a pulpit, and to the best of their ability, they're taking the Word of God and saying, God, hide me behind the cross. Just use me as a vessel. The only difference that's going to be made today is if you hear from God. It won't be really exactly what I say or don't say. It'll be what God speaks to you. So just the reading of His holy Word, because His Word is living and powerful and is applicable to your life today, that could be life-changing for you in and of itself. Now, I hope that today God will use me to preach and also teach you God's Word. We're going to be going back to the basics. You never outgrow the basics of Christian discipline, of Christian routines, of Christian activity. And one of the key things we are called to do is to talk and listen to God. It's a spiritual experience. Now, we use our body as part of that, but truthfully, even if you didn't have a body to position yourself in some or to speak, it's a spiritual experience. God, who is spirit, must be worshiped in spirit and truth. And we communicate to God with praise, our confessions, our thanks. We communicate to God and pray about our needs and the needs of our world, and we pray in faith and all those things. But it's a spiritual experience in the sense that we are present with God in prayer. We're communicating, we're listening. And if there's ever been a need to pray, Now is the time. The challenges are too great to handle by ourselves. We are undone. We are beyond our limit of strength in the facing the needs that we have today. To do His work must require His power. And to access His power, He says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. You can't get that experience except through prayer, except through talking to God, except through listening to God and then putting it into action. Prayer is something you will never outgrow. But if the devil can stop us from praying, we become mediocre Christians. We become ineffective. We don't experience the joy nor the strength of the Christian journey, of the Christian life. And our challenges, both locally, nationally, and globally, the challenges in your family, your own personal walk in a broken world, to walk in righteousness, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. My friend, you can't do that without prayer. It's time to pray. If you're struggling today, if apathy is the word of the week, if you're thinking you can go to another church or you can get some new preacher to listen to, if you can find some new podcast that will give you some insight, my friend, and you're not praying, you're missing it. It's not out there. If you're trying to relive the past because you're more comfortable in the past, and you're not challenging yourself to be a gospel on mission Christian today for the lostness of our world, I'm telling you, you're not praying. If you are, you're not praying the Christian prayer. You're praying American Christian prayers. You're praying what the Senate prays. You're praying what the presidents always pray when it's time to get elected. Then they hurry up and ask somebody to give them a Bible verse and ask a preacher to come up here and say some kind of prayer. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm talking about humbling yourself before God and saying, oh God, I need you. Help me, Lord. I'm talking about prayers that come from your spirit and praise to where you just become overwhelmed by the goodness of God. You even forgot what you needed to pray for because you get lost up in the awesomeness of God's mercy and God's grace. You just say, I don't even need anything. I've done praised Him so much, I can't even remember if I had a need. That's prayer. It's time to pray. Today, I want to focus on one concept of the body of Christ praying together. A couple scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, and when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Now, who was there? The apostles, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, and who was the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were in one accord, and they were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. What happens when you pray? Well, when you move to chapter 5, you find out what all this prayer accomplished. They literally turned the city upside down. A capital city, Jerusalem. So much so that the apostles were arrested because they wouldn't stop teaching Jesus in the temple and in the synagogues and in the streets and going from house to house. They arrested them and they threatened them and they beat them. And after they released a couple of them, the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer disgrace and dishonor for the name, Jesus. Because that's what they were preaching. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the culture didn't like it then, and the culture doesn't like it now. And notice what they did. Did they just stop? No. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ, the Savior, is Jesus, the name. That's the name. I just want to help you see this idea that the body of Christ, the apostles, eyewitnesses, about 120 people who had seen Jesus. They knew he'd been crucified, but they also knew on the third day he was raised by God the Father. He is alive, and for 40 days, the Bible says, over 500 eyewitnesses saw Jesus in his resurrected body. He had promised he would die, but he also promised, on the third day, I will rise again. And he did exactly what he said. The Bible says 500, 120 of those dear precious saints joined with the apostles. They joined with the mother of Jesus, Mary. They joined with his brothers. One, James, would become the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. And they're there doing exactly what God had told them to do, pray. You gather together and you're going to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's going to come upon you. The person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is going to literally indwell you, and he's going to empower you to do what I've called you to do. And I want y'all to be together. Be together. And what I want you to do before you do anything is I want you to pray. And when God releases you in power, then you go and do exactly what I tell you to do. First, we see them praying to the same God. They weren't praying to any different versions of God. They humbled themselves and they prayed in the name of Jesus, the risen Savior. They didn't pray to a dead God. They didn't pray to a dead God of a dead religion. They didn't pray to some former great religious prophet or teacher. They prayed to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I pray today, we're not praying religiously. We're praying relationally. We don't have a relationship with a dead God. We have a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and your prayers ought to understand that, and it ought to be verbalized that way with gratitude that there's not an enemy you're going to face that Christ has not already defeated. Even death itself has been defeated because he's alive. That's why when we say pray in faith, well, the reason I can pray in faith, believing God's going to do what he said he's going to do, because he did what he said he was going to do. When death came, he was defeated. And Jesus is alive. You and I have the privilege to pray with Christians together. We're not, the only thing drawing us really to one another is Christ and him crucified, dead, buried, and raised on the third day. Now, you've heard we've announced our prayer walk, Brookhaven. Our church has done that about three times. When I decided after it was time to try to do another one, God just put on my spirit that we would do this as a community thing. And so I started talking to pastors of churches in Brookhaven. Some people have other things going on that week, and other people have different ideas about ministry, but we kind of have, God has led about 13 churches in the city limits of Brookhaven. Now the people are from all over counties. The members of the churches live in the county. It doesn't matter where you live, but the churches are Brookhaven churches. And we just decided we're going to do a prayer walk together. Now we're of different denominations, but all Christian. We're of different races, but all Christian. It ain't about a race. This ain't a race thing. This isn't trying to come together and solve problems of the world. This is about Jesus. This is not denominational things, trying to get denominations to agree when we're never going to agree on all these secondary and tertiary things. We just set those aside and say, what we do agree on is what? Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He is Lord, and He's our Lord. And so we're coming together on that. And we have different ways we even pray. But we pray. And so on Saturday, October 21st, we're going to actually do something where we pray together. Isn't that a novel idea? Who would have thunk it 2,000 years ago? The big honchos and the family and 120 no names. Nobody ever knows these people's names. What God said, I want y'all all to get together in the same room, pretty big room, and then I want you to do one thing you all know how to do and are still learning to do. Pray. Pray. Pray to the same one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do. I have been told it's never been done before. In at least in a generation. Now, we can't go back to the generation before us, but in the last 40 years, we can testify to our best of our memory, the churches of Brookhaven have never come together to have just a prayer walk where we actually work together, set aside our differences, set aside all of these worldly identities and say, I am a Christian who loves Brookhaven and wants to pray for and with the people of Brookhaven. That's it. Nothing more complex. And then leave the rest to God. Whatever God wants to do through this, we will let Him dictate. We will let Him lead. But first, we will gather to pray to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. Now, the second thing I want us to think about is this. They prayed fearlessly. They prayed fearlessly. Now, what do I mean by that? Think of where they were in Jerusalem. What had happened 40 days earlier? They had crucified the Lord Jesus. The powerful Roman Empire government, persuaded by the Jewish religious leaders that Jesus was both a political threat, and to them, they were convinced He was a religious threat. He was going to overthrow the political power and create chaos, which the Romans hated. And the Jewish leaders thought that He was going to overtake their privileged position of power over God's people. So they saw Jesus as a threat, and they connived together to kill the gentle Savior. The man who healed, the man who called children to Himself, the man who fed thousands, the man who took lame and said, walk, the one who said, you're blind, you can now see. I mean, really, what did the man do that was so terrible? Did he kill anybody? Did he do horrible crimes? No, he did just the opposite. He spread love wherever he went. He spread life wherever he went. He spread joy and He gave hope to the hopeless. And because of that, they crucified Him brutally on the cross. And they thought He was gone until the third day. God had a different plan. And they came alive, and in that place where they had killed the Master, they said, the very first place Jesus said, I want you to minister right here. Right here in Jerusalem. And they prayed and they ministered fearlessly. Can I tell you today, they had some real threats on their lives. I mean, it wouldn't take but a few chapters to realize, man, they arrested Him and beat Him. So their fear was real. Their apprehension was real. Today, same kind of thing the old devil loves to use, fear. Loves to use fear. I wonder what somebody will say. I wonder what somebody will do. If I go with another brother, sister that I've never met, and we go together and we go knock on a door and say, hey, I'm Greg and this is John and Johnny, and we're out prayer walking today, and such a privilege to be here. Thank you. May I ask your name? Your name, thank you. John, we appreciate you coming to the door today. We're here for one thing, to find out if you have a need we can pray for. Do you have a concern that we can pray for? Is there any way we can pray with you about something? Just that simple question, and that's it, and then be quiet. Let them think. And you'd be surprised, some people actually say, I got a need. Now, we're going to try to cover the entire city. We're just going to let God provide, and we're organizing it ward by ward. We're asking people to go out. You can pray in your neighborhood if that's where you want to pray, or you can just say, I'll pray wherever you put me. Just put me somewhere, I can do that. And if you say, I don't really want to pray, but I'd be glad to take notes and record if somebody has a need that later we need to follow up on. We'll be giving out a door hanger. It's got all kind of resources on the back, ministry, area ministries for homeless, for food, for energy, whatever people have practical needs. But if there's something that's not on that list, just write it down, record the address, record their name. Say, you know, someone, can I have your number? Someone will come back here or call you and follow up and see if the church can help you. So, before we did that, I know I have done this. Our church has done it 2 or 3 times, but there was just a concern. There's a street in our area that's made a lot of news as the most dangerous street in Brookhaven. So dangerous, the police can't even handle the crime. They got put up cameras. In fact, they just bought cameras, by the way. We paid tax dollars to buy cameras, video cameras, to put on this street because the crime is so rampant. So I just determined, All the devil wants to do is put fear out there. And I'm just determined that Saturday at 11 o'clock, we can walk any street in this town. Now, I don't go walking at 3 o'clock in the morning anywhere. I mean, truthfully, I just don't do it. I'm not going to scare somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning. But 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, you can walk any street, and you'd be surprised what would happen. So I got with Brother Johnny Turney. Come on up here, Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny and Stephanie lead Doll's House Ministry, and dear members of our church. And Brother Johnny and I, we went to this street. And on Saturday, at 11 o'clock, I asked Brother Johnny to come up here and you share what your experience was, what you felt God was doing through that.
Good morning, everyone. Brother Greg, again, did ask me about the prayer walk. First of all, I want to thank First Baptist for serving as First Baptist committee chair for the prayer committee. Then Brother Greg, when we had this thing here, Dr. Bill was talking about it. I said, man, I won't be able to be there on the 21st. So Brother Greg and I got together, and it's probably about 2 to 3 weeks in advance that we said, hey, we can walk it this day. And we heard all the stories and the apprehensions, but Brother Greg and I did set up that day to meet this particular Saturday of the mission fair last week. And so when we went out, there's a whole lot of things going on. Fear hit and attacked even my home at that moment, that I almost had to call Brother Greg. Brother Greg, I won't be able to come. But you know what? Just like those disciples, just like those the apostles and many others, we had to go. So I said, Brother Greg, we showed up. So Brother Greg and I went out, and we could feel the sense of fear, but we prayed as brothers in a parking lot there, and we prayed as with brothers. And the very first door we went to hit, the knock on, the man come, he said, hey, I know what this about. He said, no, I don't know. And something very significant happened at that moment. And then I joked, I said, well, what you think it's about? And the guy said, this is something about that church stuff. And Brother Greg and I simultaneously, we did not rehearse this, but came out of both our spirit at the same time. No, this is a God thing. And the guy said, well, I don't want any of that either. So both of us, we chuckled, and we stepped back, we laughed, and we went through. But as we started walking the community, it was just this deep sense of fear. I want us all to understand false evidence appearing real. But that was what this sense was. And we went on and we kept knocking on some doors. We saw doors, we saw windows, not curtains, but black trash bags over, I mean, the darkest of dark the windows. We saw people come to a door and a one lady cried out, "I just got through praying. I just got through praying Philippians 4:19, but my God will supply our need." And Brother Greg asked her, "Is there a need?" She said, "I just enrolled in GED at Colleen, and it's Tuesday and Thursday, and I don't have a tire. You can see the wire." So Brother Greg and I, we stepped out there, and sure enough, we was able to make another connection in ministry to a community of believers, not like us. It's a total different religion of the Muslim faith. But brother was able to call and say, "Hey, we gonna send this lady and she to you, and would you put a tire on there?" That answered that lady's need. Now, so Tuesday, she was able to go. Unbeknownst, after we had finished the walk, Brother Greg showed back up there, and here this business owner, the lady showing up at the same time. Now he's getting a chance to see love in action, because the pastor did just what he said. "You put it on there and I'm gonna pay for it." Well, coming out of this, we had talked to some other families, and it was mothers with a single mother there. Finances, don't have this, a better job, would you pray? We got a chance to pray. Another young man come to the door, came very hard spirit, but the moment we begin to pray, you can just see a release on him, and he just breathed, almost like, seemed like for the first time in a long time, he was just able to breathe, and he took it in. I wanted to share something. I asked for permission, because coming off of that walk, something so, that I was sharing with y'all that happened, one of our young ladies, and would I have shared this with Brother Greg at that time, at that setting? Probably not. I try to, you know, some things we would love to try to handle internally. But guess what? When we walked off of our final walk, there it was. Sure enough, Brother Greg said, "That looked like one of the dolls there." You know, Brother Greg pretty tall. He said, and there's one of our young ladies. But that morning, she had what we would call an emotional breakdown, trauma, if you will. But here it is. She's sitting there, and she was confused, and she was angry. She said, "I didn't know what to do with it. I just needed to be alone." So, sure enough, we getting ready to get in the cars. But what we didn't know, Brother Greg, and I wanted to share more with him, but I said, when he called and asked me about this, I said, "No, I'm going to share." The whole city was on fire. Brother Greg and I walk in a single street, hoping to 20 cars. We had policemen riding, praying for our community. We had case managers. It was so many different people say, "Hey, I know that doll. I know that doll. She's struggling." And they began to pray, and they started riding the community. At the time, when she came down this particular road here, it had a sign. I didn't know it at the time, but she had a sign that sit there and said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus." In her spirit, she said, "Well, where were you when I needed you?" She kept on. Now, she just was baptized. What happened? Satan is real. That fear is real. So at that moment, she went on and said, "I just need some time. I just need to be left alone." Brother Greg came on back, and I was sitting there, we're talking. I said, "Brother Greg, just one of these things we have to deal with. We have to work this process." Brother Greg said, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and take care of the business here at the mission fair that I need to take care of." I said, "Brother, I'm going to go ahead and get back on this wall and do what I have to do." And so when I came out, sure enough, I could see her walking. I asked her, "Are you ready to talk? I just want to be left alone." "Come on back around." I just fell back and I drove. And sure, we rode about an hour and a half till I got down to about a quarter tank in the background looking. I saw her hit this street. It was a dead end street. It was a stop, another sign. Didn't know it at the time, but here it is. We stopped there and she turned around. She said, "How long have you been following me?" I said, "Probably about an hour and a half." And she kind of chuckled. I said, "But hold on, this is not about me." I said, "Because I hit the Spirit of the Living God saying, I've been following you for 20 years. We just sung with these babies here from your mother's womb." And for the first time, she got a revelation. It wasn't about that I was there. It wasn't about that something happened that we thought we was going to have a prayer walk, but at her moment of need, God was there. Didn't know all this, and I'm going to fast track because I want to come off of here because Brother Greg told me he's going to cut my mic off if I get here too long. But anyways, we just asked her to pen what was going on, and she penned it. She was having some things going on emotionally, and she penned it. But she said, the one thing I told y'all, she read a sign. And that sign, she said, I will never leave you nor forsake. She asked that question, where were you? She didn't allow us. Brother Greg had to shift. Even Helen, the mission, we had to begin to pray a different prayer. And he allowed us to see there. And here she was. And he fulfilled just what she asked. Where were you when I needed you? I challenge y'all, for us to go out, and when she received that revelation, I just wanted to share a quote, brother, if I could. And I want to do this in closing. He said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If they must be filled, let them be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned or unprayed for. That was Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. We was challenged last week, make sense, to be friendly, and speak the gospel truth. Brother Greg and other leaders have worked hard putting this prayer walk together. If you can't go, you can pray. Right now, we don't do nothing but earnestly seek God for our community, because there is a stronghold, but God is stronger. And these are the last two things I want to say that I feel impressed upon. If you don't go, you won't know. If we don't go, they won't know that these abide. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love.
Yes, thank you, is. Brother. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Amen. I believe ministry is a reflection of your prayer life. Your effectiveness in doing the will of God is as a result of your prayer life. And it just speaks to our need. When you're praying in faith, you're praying for the big needs. You're thinking bigger than yourself. You're thinking in your community. The youth, the children, the lost, the hurting, the addicted, the poor, those who are being treated unjustly. And if we're not praying in that vein, then we're not going to be ministering in that vein. If it's just, Lord, bless the food, bless my family, bless all of mine, if that's the only prayer life we have, then that's the only ministry you'll ever see. But I'm telling you, as Brother Johnny said, at least as I heard him say it, we're the ones that were blessed. We're out ministering to other people, and God put us right in the perfect connection to help someone we love that was going through a time. But had we not been right there at that very moment, literally we walked off of that street to cross in a parking lot where we were parked, and she's walking down the street, and she was in trauma. She was in need. And the person that could help her was walking literally perpendicular to that path. Only God can do that. And I don't know why the time was, that's the time, that's just the time it worked out, but God knew. The people we talked to, when we went, we were more blessed than the people we blessed. We've also been trying to minister to this, as he mentioned, a business of a different faith. This gave him an opportunity for us to do something, because that faith views good deeds as your way to God. And one of the criticisms they have of Christians is we talk a good game, but we don't ever do anything. Well, here was an opportunity to minister and try to build a bridge that was already built a long time ago. But it was an opportunity, because these are good people. These are good people. But goodness doesn't get you into heaven, folks. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. My goodness, your goodness, their goodness. That might impress people, but it don't impress God. He don't need goodness. He's already good. He's the only true good. What he needs is us to respond to his act of love in faith and love to him. And so one of the things he says is, you love me, trust me. Trust me to do what I ask you to do. This is the way. This is life. This is beauty. This is hope. This is faith. This is love. So we're going to do that. Well, you're going to hear more about that in the weeks ahead. So I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to pick up right where I left off. Because if I kept on, we'd be here all day. What can you learn? What can you learn from this service? Very first act, a child can understand the gospel. What's your holdup? Is it pride that's getting in your way? Humble yourself and say, God, I need you. I've tried to be religious. I've tried everything else. I've tried. I need Jesus. I want my life to be transformed from the inside out. I can't do it on my own, but I know Jesus died for my sins, was buried, experienced my death, and on the third day was raised again victorious. He's Lord and Savior, and I'm going to follow him. I'm going to trust him. I'm giving my life to him. I'm responding in faith to Christ and receiving his grace and forgiveness. That I will never question, that he created me, that he loved me, he forgave me, made me a new creature. That's what's on these t-shirts of all these children. I am a new creation in Christ. How about you today? What's keeping you? A child can understand this. If it's not understanding, what is it? It's pride. It's time to humble yourself. Maybe you need a church home. Maybe you're saying, hey, I want to be challenged. I want my faith to be challenged. I want to go. If you're willing to go to the world, I'm asking you, you're willing to go to Craner Lane. I mean, anybody can get on an airplane. How about giving a Saturday on football season? Boy, now that's a sacrifice. Getting on a United plane and going to Africa. Well, we don't need to be thinking about that if we can't go on Perkins. If we can't go to Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. I'm just saying, I'm just challenging you. I'm talking to myself. I'm going to tell you something. Every time you go, you'll be blessed. I don't know how it will happen, but you will be blessed as you go in Jesus' name. We're trusting. So I'm encouraging this Sunday, next Sunday, throughout the week, you can go online, register, and we'll assign you. We're going to have a little breakfast. We're going to have some fellowship with Christians in Brookhaven. Already, we have over 150 signed up and more. To participate. We look to have hundreds to participate. And you don't have to have a t-shirt. You don't have to have all those things. Just participate. We'll have a label for you. So when you come to the door, it'll say Prayer Walk Brookhaven. They'll know why you're there. I want to encourage you to participate in this. There are ways to do it. Ways to help out. Practical ways to help out and be a part of a team. Some of you, as I mentioned, maybe a church home. If God's calling you here, I want to encourage you to come. Think about the future. Think about the next generation that needs to be reached. It's happening right here at First Baptist. We're just part of the body of Christ. Maybe you're dealing with some struggles, and it's got overwhelmed. You're just overwhelmed. I get it. Boy, this has been one of those weeks for me. I don't even have a PowerPoint for you. I'm just going to use the Bible like I used to in the old days. I mean, couldn't even get to PowerPoint. Okay, just one of them crazy weeks this week. And when it's all overwhelming, Jesus is there for you. He's as close as a prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, have your way during this invitation. Minister to your people. Touch hearts and lives. Just touch hearts and lives today. Lord, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your kindness. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing, and you come as the Lord leads you.